Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast, here with your hosts, Jacob Smedley,
Sam Benz,
Justin Rehammer,
and Nathan Romanoff.
Today's topics include the NBA in-season tournament, our thoughts, the courts, the jerseys, all that. We'll have the very latest for you, and the NFL is past the halfway mark. We're heading into the back stretch. We'll give you an update, who's leading the division, who's in a playoff spot, and much more. And in college football, some teams are getting set for conference championship games, and we'll take a look at who's in the playoff and who is not. Now, here is Sam Betts. Sam, what is going on with the in-season tournament? Adam Silver's been cooking up in the lab.
Yeah, I was actually reading something, Jake, that this tournament's been in the works for about 15 years or so, and now it's finally coming to fruition here. The NBA in-season tournament, it's a kind of a little design that the NBA came up with, kind of like a little bit of championship type gameplay into the regular season. So this tournament started on November 3rd, as of the time of recording, which is right now November 25th. We're getting kind of close to the championships. They're coming about on December 9th, but I think the playoffs start November 28th. So actually in 3 days now, we're going to get into some in the tournament playoffs, quote unquote. But kind of, I'm just going to go over how the tournament kind of worked out, how they decided which teams kind of went which way, talk about some of the jerseys and the courts, some good, some not really so good, but we'll get into that. And also kind of prizes, the trophy, the new in-season tournament trophy, and just a couple other things. So with the new in-season tournament, with the gameplay, the 30 teams were randomly drawn into groups of five, kind of based on their win-loss record from the previous season. So the West and the East were divided into three sections, an A, B, and C group. And then based on the win-loss records, those teams were divided into a kind of like a five-team division is the best way to put it. They each will play four games, which most of them have already played their four games. And a lot of some of those teams have even clinched their spot in the in-season tournament playoffs. And they were each assigned to play each of their opponents in their tournament. So you had five teams. So then that team would play the other four teams in that group. Kind of looking into the knockout rounds, how the teams are decided when they go into the playoffs for the in-season tournament. There are eight teams that are going to advance. It's the six teams at the top of each group. So the team with the best record in each division of each of the East and West will go. And then they're going to have a wild card team or two wild card teams that are kind of decided based on who finished second in that group with the best record. Another kind of way to determine that, if there are those teams that have the same record, they're going to go off of total points scored in the tournament and then total points scored kind of like in the regular season. So it's kind of a couple different ways of deciding for tiebreakers and stuff like that. It's a single elimination tournament. So these eight teams are going to play. It's either you win the game or you lose and you move on. And then all the games except the championship are part of the regular season. All these games still count toward their regular season record. It's just that these teams, when they play, it's just like another in-season game. So when the teams were drawn, when they originally drawn, it was based on pots, they call them. So it is based on their records from last year. So the top three teams were in pot one, four through six were in pot two, and then so forth. And then they kind of randomly drew out those teams from those pots to decide the different conferences. Let's see. I'm kind of looking through my notes here, making sure that
now,
I stay on topic.
Now, Sam, I of course, we've got kind of the records here and kind of looking at the teams as a whole. Just based on looking at it, how it's gone so far, do you think this is a good idea? Because there's so many each side, oh yeah, it's a great idea to incentivize play during the regular season, long season, despite, as we'll get to, the appearance of it all through the different teams. Do you think it's a good idea, or do you think it's something that's not needed?
It's interesting. So, first of all, why did the NBA decide to do this in the first place? Well, I was reading something online, and it said that basically they wanted to help compete for viewership against the NFL. It was something different that they wanted to put in place because the NFL, especially around November, December, this is football season. Like everyone is deep into NFL football. Viewers are going more toward football because of the action, a lot of the big hits, stuff like that, football. But the NBA kind of wanted to try to do something different, and I think this is one way that they wanted to try to go against kind of like the NFL, try to kind of raise viewership, have new jerseys and courts, and kind of make it like a big kind of like spectacle. I think it's something kind of cool. Is it necessary? Did the NBA like need to do it? No, I don't really think they need to do it. But I think it's kind of interesting. It gives something for teams to play for. So one of the prizes actually, the players do get extra money based on how far they get into the knockout round. Well, first of all, they had to get to the knockout round first, so you already get a little extra cash. But then if you keep going further, you get a bigger bonus for how far you go. And if you win the championship, you get a pretty good bonus as a player. So I think it's another way to incentivize players. As you said, you did say that before, get them some extra prize money. Team gets to win a trophy, which is pretty cool. I think that kind of just adds another accolade to the team. And then also players are voted on for all tournament teams, and there's also an MVP of the tournament. So I think it's just another way to kind of, like you said, incentivize players, kind of get them to play in something where they can achieve some more things other than just going through like out the regular season. Maybe highlight some players who did really well in this tournament. Is it needed? Probably not, but I just think it's kind of like a cool idea and something new that the NBA is willing to try.
I agree with you. I think at first I was like, what is going on? I don't know how they're trying to kind of merge two sports with soccer and basketball to keep intrigue. But after I thought about it and was talking with a friend who was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense though, because you have just the path of the season as a whole. You look at, okay, you start the season, there's not a ton of intrigue. They're going through kind of the motion, if you will. All of the teams are just kind of feeling each other out, if you will, the players and getting in rhythm. And then you kind of hit the All-Star break, then it's the trade deadline, and then you get in our every sport, really, you get that ramping up at the end, playoffs and into that where there's the most intrigue. So I like the positioning of it. I think my only thing that I think could make it better, I know you mentioned it's only four games and you only play the teams in your pod. I think one something to keep could be improved upon is maybe mix up the teams in East and West. Like teams maybe you don't play as much. You get teams, you get the 76ers, for example, playing the Spurs. Like they're in a one with the Spurs. I know that's a lot of added traveling, but they play all of the teams regardless during the regular season. So you could have different teams facing each other, and I feel like the groups could be, I know they're more region-based too, along with the conference, but I feel like that would be a cool idea. And also, maybe more than four games. I think, it's still early enough in the season where you can maybe run this up close. I mean, maybe not directly in conflicting with Christmas, the Christmas Day games and all that stuff, but maybe like six games, 6 or 7. I feel like that could be a bit bigger barometer, maybe towards the knockout round at least.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for this to kind of maybe get bigger. Obviously, this is the first time they've done this. Obviously, it's been in the works for 15 years. They've been thinking about it, but I think this is something that they can grow upon. Maybe kind of this is kind of like their test run, see if this is actually something that the players want to do, because the players are a big part in this, and I'm sure the Players Association is also a big part of this too. And also, whether the fans actually enjoy it. Do they like having some in-season tournament? Do they like having like a playoff atmosphere in the middle of the season? Do they like the courts and the jerseys that the players are wearing?
Oh gosh, Sam. I mean, 'cause some of those are just hard to watch. I mean, the red like let. I mean, this. I'm just talking about the Sixers one. That's the one that I like saw the most, at least scrolling and looking at pictures. But just like the red court with the bar, you can hardly see the bar. I know some of them look better in person, and people. It's kind of grown on people, but just some of them are just. I feel like you could have just left the courts the same. Like, I like the custom jerseys, but I feel
Yeah, the
like you could
city
have left the
City
courts
Edition jerseys are
alone.
cool.
Yeah, let the courts alone. Let them. They can change. They can mix up the jerseys, but the courts are just bit weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna be biased. I like the Raptors. I like the black court. I like the gold jerseys.
Yeah,
I
that
think that
looks
works
nice.
really well. The Pelicans court, like with the green, like the random like neon green, or like I think it was the Indi I think the Pacers. I think the Pacers
Yeah,
is
that was
like
blue,
it's
right?
blue. Some of those courts, I forget who else. I think maybe the Thunder. No, the Thunder, I think the Thunder's gray. There's so many different colors. Like some of those are hard to play. Some of those colors are, I guess.
A rainbow barfed on these courts. That's what it is. A rainbow just barfed all over these courts.
The Jazz's court is bright purple. Like that's gotta be hard to, some of those courts are hard to look at. Like they look cool. Don't get me wrong. Some of them do look cool. But I'm just looking
Yeah.
at it from like a player perspective on actually like trying to focus and play on that court has to be.
Finding the 3-point line on the court when the court's like green and you're trying to, or like orange or red and you're trying to find where the 3-point line is to take a shot.
Yeah, but yeah, it's some of them are good, some of them not so good. And I think we've trashed some of them enough, but I think they're cool. I think they need to rework some of the colors of the court. I think they could have just kept like a regular court and maybe just changed the logo, but that's just me. So kind of now finishing up looking at the top teams in each group. So when we look at the East, we have the East A. We have the Indiana Pacers who were 4-0, and they at 546 points, they have the highest point total in all of the East leading teams, and they've actually clinched their spot for the tournament. So we will definitely see the Indiana Pacers playing in the tournament. For the East B, we have the Milwaukee Bucks at 3-0, and they have scored 371 points. For East C, we have the Orlando Magic at 3-1 with 446 points. So it's like I said, it's nice seeing some of these. I don't think I mentioned this before, but I want to mention it now. It is nice seeing some of these teams kind of in a playoff atmosphere, like the Orlando Magic and Indiana Pacers. Like the Orlando Magic have made the playoffs before, but it haven't really been like a big factoring team. They've been in as like an 8 seed, kind of similar for like the Pacers. But I feel like now kind of seeing these teams kind of mixing in with like the Bucks, and we'll see what the West, some of those powerful teams. I think it's kind of cool to see who's going to come on top like in the knockout rounds.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think the Magic have really stood out in looking at kind of the season holistically as well. We're seeing these younger teams playing well. And something to note as well, I know you're talking about the points scored, but I know point differential is so huge. And you're seeing that in these games as well, where it's end of the game. You really know one team's gonna win, like they're up 10 with like 2 minutes left. It's like winding down. But they're still shooting threes. They're still being aggressive. I know the one Sixers game they played against the Hawks. The Hawks were a little bit upset because I think Embiid, or was it might have been the Pistons. He took like a late three, made it to just extend the lead to push the point differential because that's huge. That's really the tiebreaker at this point. You have the point scored, but you also have the point differential with your wins. Like you mentioned, the Pacers a 39-point differential right now, tied with the Bucks for the highest in the East group, and the Lakers 74-point differential, the most by any NBA team. I mean that's what teams are also factoring in these games. I know it won't matter in the knockout round when it's single elimination, but just interesting to see how those games have played out at the end too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, looking at I pulled up some of the differential. The Indiana Pacers had a plus 39-point differential. So did the Bucks, and the Orlando Magic had a plus 22-point differential. It was actually this is kind of cool to see the Detroit who actually went 0-4, had a negative 45 point differential. But they also scored, they scored a total of 439 points, which is actually higher than some of the teams that are above them in the tournament.
So they just didn't play any defense.
No,
That's what I'm
yeah,
hearing.
they're eliminated. Yeah, they just did not make
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
But that's how it goes. Unfortunately, the Raptors went 1-2 and they're already eliminated. And they have a negative 9 point differential, so that's fun. But moving on to the West, we have the Los Angeles Lakers at 4-0 with a plus 74 point differential at 494 points, and they have definitely clinched their spot for the tournament on the Western side. We have the New Orleans Pelicans at 3-1, plus 33 point differential at 463 points, and then I'm sorry, that was for West B. And then for the West C group, we have the Sacramento Kings with a plus 29 point differential. They're at 358 points.
I mean, is if LeBron wins the in-season tournament, is he the GOAT? Is that the I heard that. I heard that on a podcast I was listening to. Is that a question that we have to raise here?
Who knows? Maybe it'll put him above Michael Jordan because now he has a championship that Michael Jordan doesn't have, or an MVP that Michael Jordan doesn't have. So I don't know. A lot of speculation.
The COVID ring and now the in-season tournament. I mean, who else is beating LeBron at that?
Yeah, Jake, that's pretty much all I have right now. We have our leaders. We're still kind of waiting for the last couple of games as play finishes up to determine who the wild card winners will be. And we're kind of just going to have to see how that goes and who's going to be the new in-season tournament champion.
With that, Sam, prediction. Do you have a prediction, at least based on the group leaders here? I know the wild cards. Well, we can probably just do it based on the leaders. But any predictions for the final matchup in the tournament before we move on?
Oh, Jake, let's see. I definitely think it's going to be the Lakers just because LeBron James, Austin Reaves,
Oh, boo.
the two goats. But I think the Orlando Magic actually have a pretty good chance of getting there. I really like Paolo Banchero, the Wagner brothers. Markelle Fultz still on the Magic?
He is. I don't think he's playing though. Jalen Suggs has been balling out
Yeah,
too. It's been the
Jalen
three-headed
Suggs has been
monster.
doing really well. Wendell Carter Jr. So I'd like to see the Orlando Magic kind of take on the Lakers.
You know what? I'm going with the P teams, Pelicans, Pacers.
Oh,
Two high
okay.
flying offenses. Zion Williamson going up against Tyrese Halliburton. Would love to see that. We'll keep an eye on the in-season tournament. Thank you, Sam. Now for everyone's favorite, well, maybe to some, favorite segment of the show, the NFL segment. Justin, middle of the season, where are we standing in the standings in the NFL?
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Like Sam mentioned, it's the end of November, beginning of December, time for football, but not just any football. We are pre-playoffs now. This is the moment of the season where every team shows whether they're a contender, a pretender, or a top five drafter. And so let's jump right into it with the NFC side of things, where we, of course, have the Philadelphia Eagles sitting on top with just one loss on the season, 9-1. Then followed by San Francisco in the 2 seed, Detroit in the 3, and New Orleans in the 4, with Dallas, Minnesota, and Seattle so far holding up the wild cards. However, of course, there is still some play left to be had in week 12. That might shake up the standings, but for the most part, that is where we lie. And I have to say, at the top of things, I think it's pretty much what we've expected. Philadelphia, San Fran, I'd say two of the best, but at the 3 spot, I don't think anybody was going to call Detroit sitting at number 3 at the beginning of the season with an 8-3 record, although they took a little bit of a misstep this past Thursday. But for the most part, they have been pretty incredible this season to watch, and I like their chances going into the playoffs here.
Yeah, I agree, Justin. I think the Lions have really surprised what Dan Campbell has continued to do with that team, really embodying his that Detroit mindset of, the working hard, you're paying off. You got Jared Goff, who is having a career resurgence, and what they're doing offensively, running the football. What Jared Goff did very well in Los Angeles, they're doing again in Detroit, and he's playing well off of it as well. They're using the running game to set up the play action. Montgomery having a career year. Jahmyr Gibbs has come on extremely strong, proving the doubters wrong with the draft pick where they picked him. And the defense, it's a bend but don't break unit that's, given up points. They've had to fight back in some of these games. That wild comeback against the Bears a few weeks ago now at this point. But a bend but don't break team, and it's incredible the run that they've been on this season.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Jake, I love what I'm seeing from the Lions. I think we all, knew the way that things have been shifting in Detroit, especially ever since Dan Campbell took over. We saw last year how close they came to making that final wild card spot and getting into the playoffs. But this year they've just taken that next step that, not maybe we didn't expect it to be where it is right now, the third seed in the NFC. But yeah, they're playing fantastic football. The offense is looking great with, like you said, Montgomery and Gibbs in the backfield, a dynamic duo. And you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta, the tight end, rookie sensation, who has been balling out. Things are looking really good for the Lions. A little hiccup, this past Thanksgiving at home against the Packers. But I expect nonetheless that they will finish the season out strong and definitely hold up and win the NFC North.
Yeah, it's looking really good for them. Although Minnesota not out of it quite yet, sitting at 6-5 in the middle of the wild card conversation. They still have a job to do if they want to make it to the playoffs. But let's talk about a different wild card team right now. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys sitting at 8-3, just behind Philadelphia's 9-1. Although, two losses is two losses still. Coming into one of the matchups coming here in the next, 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be interesting to see who wins that one. Last time Philadelphia and Dallas, they played, it was in Philadelphia, and it was a close game. Came down to, last few plays, a couple penalties here and there. But, this time it could be the game. I mean, I know that Buffalo is playing against Philadelphia tomorrow. Jake, I know you'll be watching. I know I'll be watching. I'll likely be crying, but, that's besides the point.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
If somehow, though, Buffalo pulls it out, that game in Dallas certainly means a lot more then, because at that point, the records become tied and things become convoluted.
Yeah, this Dallas team is playing extremely well, and just watching the game the other day against the Commanders, the methodical beatdown that they put on that team, forcing a defensive coordinator to be fired and the defensive line, like they put two coaches out of a job essentially after that game, and what Deron Bland, the history that he's doing on the defensive side, incredible, the interceptions, the five pick sixes breaking an NFL record. And then on the offensive side, and the big argument is, the teams that they're playing, they're beating the Commanders, they're beating the Giants by a lot. Don't mean to bring that up, Nate, but beating these other teams that aren't getting it done against others. So, I mean, there is that. But they're playing the teams on their schedule, and they're playing well. They're clicking together. Running game's going strong. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best receivers in football. He's showing why. Dak's balling out, limiting the turnovers. And that defense is showing why they're an elite unit. So right now, they are a Super Bowl contender. You got two in the same division. And like you said, I think that's going to be a game that, like the first one, is going to come down to the last possession. It is probably, score is going to be like 20 in the 20s, in the 30s. There'll be a one possession game, and it'll be which team limits the mistakes more. And that's the one that'll come out. And I maybe a bold take, the number one seed in the NFC is going to be from one of those two teams. And I know the Lions have a shot. I know the 49ers have a shot right now. But my personal opinion, it's the Eagles, it's the Cowboys. And the Lions and 49ers are right there kind of there as well. I think they're all at that same level. But that's what I see.
Yeah, Dallas is an interesting team. There's no doubt, I mean, the talent they have on the offensive and defensive side of the football. I mean, like you said, CeeDee Lamb is balling out this year. They have Tony Pollard in the backfield, you know, Ferguson at tight end. Dak, to his credit, is playing very well this year, limiting his turnovers and keeping them respectable. And the defense is playing lights out, as you said, with, you know, Micah Parsons obviously doing his thing. And shout out Deron Bland. Man, has really helped my fantasy team this year. Thank you for all the pick sixes. But you know, it's interesting because, like you said, the level of competition, the teams are blowing out, not really up to that standard. And if you look at their three losses early in the season to the Cardinals, all right, count that as a wash. But then, you know, they got smacked by the 49ers, and they lost on the road, of course, in a close one to the Eagles. So those two teams that they're directly competing with in the NFC title race, you know, they lost. Obviously, they're going to have a chance to avenge that loss to the Eagles coming up, as we've talked about. Where do I see this Dallas team? They're a good team. I don't know if I would put them, I don't think I'd put them ahead of either the 49ers or the Eagles right now. But that could definitely change, you know, moving forward and seeing how the season ends. But they're definitely a dangerous team with the weapons, like I said, they have on offense and defense.
Yeah, and then I don't think we need to really talk about the 49ers. They're 3.5 games up on the next closest person in their division. I think they've pretty much got at least the 3 seed locked up here. But I do want to mention the New Orleans Saints because their division is very particular.
Oh, the NFC South again.
We want to talk about the NFC South.
Yes, they have a very they got a problem there. It's called, you know, everybody's bad. And when you have a condition like that, teams like the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which are both 4-6, have a chance of making the playoffs. Teams that shouldn't really be in the race have a shot. And so, I don't know. What do you think? I know that tomorrow we're going to have the New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons playing. You know, that could definitely shake things up. But who do you see coming on top of this division? Because right now, it's really anybody's race.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now, too. It looks like the Falcons are the only team that's undefeated against everyone else in that division. They're 2-0 in divisional games so far. So that could play a role down the stretch, especially if they get to 3-0 against the Saints. And, of course, everyone listening to this will know what the result is at that point. But I'm a believer of the Falcons. I think it's still the Saints' division to lose, as we mentioned in previous podcasts and in our opening season one, where it's like, yeah, it's the Saints to lose, right? They're the most talented team on paper. They're of course, a step below all of the teams we just mentioned, maybe multiple steps, depending on how you see it. But I'm a believer of the Falcons. I think their offense can get them some wins. They have enough tools. They have some guys figuring it out. Desmond Ridder has had his ups and downs throughout the season. 4-6, they're 3-2 at home. They've struggled on the road. Maybe Arthur Smith can figure something out and they can win these divisional games, because that's essentially what's going to come down to. So, you know what? The Falcons, the Dirty Birds, let's get it done. But this it's the Saints' division to lose.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Jake. It's definitely the Saints' division to lose. As we said, this division is just very subpar, mediocre at best. It's putting it lightly. However, you know, the Falcons lost 3 straight games going into this game against the Saints. It's going to be tough. I'm going to ride with the Saints. I think that the Saints can just take care of business. I think the Saints probably have the best defense in the NFC South. And I think, you know, despite the struggles they've had on offense with Derek Carr, you know, in his first year there as starting quarterback, I think somehow they'll find a way to win the division and get into the playoffs. But like you said, Justin, I mean, it really is a shame that we have a division like this and one of these teams is going to make the playoffs, especially when I'm sure you have other teams in the wild card race, especially in the AFC, who you know are better but will inevitably miss out on the playoffs.
Move the Seahawks to the south. Move the Seahawks to the south. They're 6-5. Put them at the top.
All right, moving over to the aforementioned AFC side of things, we have something that absolutely makes me want to vomit here. We have Miami Dolphins sitting at the 1 seed. Terrible. And then Baltimore sits at the 2, Kansas City with the 3, and Jacksonville at the 4, with then Cleveland, Houston, and Pittsburgh all we're currently in the wild card positions. Now, as it pertains to Miami, yeah, they've played pretty well. And so far, they do look like a good team. I'm not sure if I would call them number one seed material, but they look good, you know. I can't deny that.
Justin, I can see your heart hurting through every word that you just went through there. I can see the pain. The pain as the Bills fan, the resident Bills fan, having to talk about it. Yeah, the Dolphins, their offense started out extremely hot to start the season. Just a, you know, an up and down game against the Jets. They kind of pulled away late. Tua struggled to throw the football. Their defense still concerns me, especially against other high powered offenses in the conference. But when they are going good offensively, it's hard to beat them in a shootout with Hill, Waddle, the running backs that they have, and if Tua's protected and slinging the ball around, it's really hard to stop them. So I don't know if they'll end up with the one seed, but really tightening their grip on that division until further notice.
Yeah, like you said, Jake, this Dolphins offense has been very potent all year. I mean, Tyreek Hill is playing fantastic football. Him and Tua have been on point this year. The connection has been, you know, immaculate, especially for fantasy managers who have Tyreek. But I will say the only thing that concerns me about the Dolphins is if you look at their three losses have been to teams with winning records and teams that have recent playoff success and pedigree in the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bills. Chiefs game, they made it close, but, you know, they were losing, I think, 21-0 at one point in that game. So I'm a little concerned there that they haven't really shown up and played the best against stiffer competition this year. However, I do think that they will find a way to hang on to that AFC East division and win it. It'll be close. I don't see them getting the one seed in the AFC, to be honest, but I do think they will take the AFC East crown. Sorry, Justin.
I very much hope you were incorrect. However, I respect the opinion because that's the way it's looking at the moment. I need Buffalo to start playing better. But before we get to that, we should talk about the number two seed Baltimore, who I think is good enough to be the one seed, if not for their insanely good division, which houses the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, and the unfortunate Cincinnati Bengals, who I don't believe will be in contention for the playoffs anymore after losing their starting quarterback. However, the other two certainly are, with the Cleveland Browns being especially impressive so far this season. They're right now sitting at the 5 seed, but they're just a game behind the Baltimore Ravens, and they could very well take it over. It's going to be a very tight race all the way throughout.
Yeah, I am really impressed by the Browns with, you know, after Deshaun Watson went down, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie, taking over. That defense is the best in football right now, and I know we talked about the Cowboys earlier, how great their defense is. No one's holding a candle to what the Browns are doing, and in my opinion, a candidate for the league MVP, Myles Garrett, is what he's doing every single week, what they're doing in the secondary. I mean, I know the Steelers are no offensive juggernaut, but what they did to win that game, to slow down that unit, allowing 10 points there, they took down the Ravens in a thriller a few weeks ago. This Browns team, while their offense still, you know, has concerns with Watson out, they still have Amari Cooper. They, of course, Nick Chubb has been out the entire season with his injury. Browns have been extremely impressive, and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, MVP level, they finally have healthy receivers around him, and the offense is taking off with that.
Yeah, and it really is crazy to look at this AFC North division and think that even at this point in the season, they all still have a chance to make the playoffs now. As you said, Justin, you know, Burrow going down for the year really hurts the Bengals. And like Jake said, Deshaun Watson, that hurts the Browns as well. However, the Browns, I think, like you said, Jake, have probably the best defense in the league. And I think that defense alone could carry them through the rest of the season and ensure at least a wild card spot in the AFC. Myles Garrett has been playing out of his mind. They've been playing fantastic football. And the Ravens, you know, the Ravens have really come together and played really good football, really good team football this year. Obviously, winning some big games against the Seahawks and the Lions from the NFC. I mean, they're playing great football. Unfortunate that they lost Mark Andrews for what looks like it might be the season. Maybe he'll be able to come back to the playoffs. But that's a tough loss for the Ravens. But Lamar's playing great. I like what I'm seeing from the Ravens. I think they'll be able to hold on and win that division. And then just to touch on the Steelers, I guess, real quick. I mean, 6-4 is a good record. I think that's a little deceiving, though. Again, they have a great defense. Don't get me wrong. The Steelers' defense is definitely a top 10 defense in the league. However, their offense is just not there.
Hey, Matt Canada is gone now.
And we'll see if that really makes a difference, Jake. You know, we'll see if that makes a big difference or not. But either way you look at it, the offense has not been up to par this year. Kenny Pickett has not played well. They might, you know, make the wild card purely because their schedule is pretty easy and their defense is pretty good. But other than that, I don't see them as a legit contender come playoff time.
I do hope it makes a difference because that might, you know, shed off on us too, as we also fired our offensive coordinator. But I also want to touch on the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans, because the Houston Texans are just a game back from the Jaguars, and they've looked really impressive. CJ Stroud has looked really good. A lot of people calling him MVP candidate. I don't tend to go that way, but I do say he has been very, very impressive as a rookie so far. And I think he has a legitimate shot to take his team into the playoffs as a division winner.
Yeah, a division winner. Now, hold on, Justin. Let me make sure that I heard you correctly. Do you think they're going to win the division?
I still think Trevor Lawrence will get it done, but he definitely has a chance.
Yeah, I agree. One game, I believe they play one another again. Yes, this week, actually. I did not know when they matched up again this week. Could be for all of the marbles. Yeah, incredible. We talked about the Lions earlier. I'd even put the Texans just above them in terms of most improved, just because of the rookie quarterback, all of the stuff that they have dealt with, not only last year, but over really the past 4 or 5 years, really since they made the playoffs last, what this team has undergone in terms of the turnover from the ownership, the general manager, the coaches, and yeah, D'Amico Ryans, his imprint on that team has been phenomenal. Yeah, CJ Stroud, I mean, to be in at least the conversation for MVP as a rookie is incredible as itself. Tank Dell from Houston is proving to be a future star wide receiver in this league, a growing star in Houston. And they're putting the pieces together, and it's really exciting to watch. I would pencil them in as at least a wild card team now. And the Jags, Calvin Ridley has been a welcomed addition, and Trevor Lawrence is balling out. Though I think it's similar, too. We talked about the Dolphins, similar with the Jags, where they've gone up against those other good teams in the AFC, and they've struggled a little bit. So I still, you know, they've got to give me that prove-me win where I can put them up there with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Dolphins in terms of respectability.
Yeah, definitely impressed with what I've seen from the Houston Texans this year, and CJ Stroud especially, who I thought personally should have been the number one overall pick in last year's draft. He's definitely proven that right, I'd say, so far this year, playing fantastic football, especially for a rookie. They do, you know, have some work ahead of them, especially if they want to take that division. Obviously, that starts with the Jaguars tomorrow. It's a big game, especially, you know, Trevor Lawrence, the Jags playing great football as well. But ultimately, I'd say I see both those teams as playoff teams. All right, now I'm going to stick with the Jags to win the division. But I definitely see Houston getting in as one of the wildcard teams in the AFC. I've definitely, you know, just been overall impressed. Like Jake said, I think they've probably been the most improved team to this point in the year.
Before we move on, I'm just looking at these home and away splits here in the AFC South. The Jaguars are 3-3 at home. They're 4-0 on the road. The Texans are 4-1 at home. They're 2-3 on the road. Interesting. It gets even crazier. Indianapolis is 1-4 at home. They're 4-1 on the road. Okay, crazy. The Titans are 3-1 at home. They haven't won a game on the road. They're 0-6. The polarity with the home and the road splits, just crazy in that division alone.
Well, if you're a betting man, I guess that means you're picking Jacksonville next week, right?
I guess so.
I don't know. I mean, Justin, if you're going to mention it, I got to shout out my Denver Broncos. We have the longest win streak in the NFL right now. You know, from 1-5 to 5-5. Everybody watch out, because Broncos country, we're riding right now.
I have to shout out the Broncos too, because they got our offensive coordinator fired, and I appreciate that.
They did. So Bills fans everywhere, be thankful for that, all right? We helped you guys out. We really did you guys a favor there.
Russ is cooking in the kitchen. Moving from the NFL to the college game. The regular season wrapping up. Just this week, there have been games going on today, Saturday, as of recording. Nate, we'll start with our reactions to the season. Right now, just taking a look at the rankings. For the season, got some games wrapping up at Florida State going on right now. Georgia number one, Ohio State number two. We'll get into their game today against Michigan in a second. Michigan number three, Washington number four, rounding out the top four of the playoff. You got other teams, Florida State, Oregon in there, Texas, Alabama, Mizzou, and Louisville wrapping up the top 10. Penn State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, they're 11, 12, and 13 outside looking in. But Nate, kind of first off, looking at the rankings, any surprises as we head into championship weekend next weekend?
I wouldn't say there are too many surprises. You see a lot of, I'd say, college football blue bloods, if you will, up near the top of the rankings. I mean, teams like perhaps Louisville and Missouri had surprisingly good seasons. You know, Louisville is going to be playing for an ACC championship game next weekend. Unfortunately, they lost their regular season finale against Kentucky today. However, still a fantastic season for them. But if you look, you know, at the top there, just teams that you expect to be there are there. I mean, Georgia, the two-time defending national champions, have taken care of business once again this year, and they've earned their right to play Alabama in the SEC championship game. That is going to be a fantastic game to watch next weekend. And then, unfortunately, for us Penn State fans, the Michigan and Ohio State, 2-3 respectively there. In the game, as you said, that was played today. I mean, another fantastic game for the general spectator. Michigan, of course, pulling out the win just barely, 30-24. I think that these are all teams, you know, and even Ohio State, you know, despite the loss, has still had a great season. You know, Washington went undefeated as well. Great teams there. I think that this year's playoff is really going to be something special when it comes down to it.
Now, before we get into the playoff and start looking ahead at those games, we've got conference championships going on. You talk about the game, Michigan beating Ohio State to punch their ticket for the Big Ten championship game. I have all of them up on ESPN, so Nate, let's just run through them all, at least the ones we know. There is still the Mountain West championship, which is yet to be decided. So, you know, so
hold
disappointed
your horses
at that. New Mexico State against number 25 Liberty, starting off with Conference USA on December 1st, next Friday.
Yeah, and you know what? Shout out to Liberty, because they have finished the season 12-0, I believe for the first time in their history, I read. So, I mean, they had a heck of a season there, and I don't see why it won't continue. I'm going to take Liberty to win, what is it, did you say Conference USA?
Conference USA.
USA, yeah. I think Liberty will win Conference USA and go 13-0.
Justin, Sam, any thoughts as we go around the horn here?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the college football world, but the way it sounds is that Liberty's got all the momentum. Got to ride with it.
What's New Mexico's record?
10-3. The new. I think they're the Aggies.
Yeah, the Aggies.
Yes.
Yeah, the Aggies.
Yes. Yes. I thought so.
10-3.
They beat Auburn. They beat Auburn.
They beat Auburn.
If you lose more than one game in college football, you're a bad team.
Yeah, Auburn is not having a great season, but they beat Auburn on the road.
I think I'm still going to go Liberty. I'm going to go with number 20. I'm going to go with the ranked team.
All right. You know what? I'm going to make it a clean sweep. Liberty starts it off with the dub. Then it's the Pac-12 championship game Friday night, 8 o'clock on ABC. Number 6, Oregon, 11-1. Bo Nix and company going to face Washington. Michael Penix Jr. and company looking to punch their ticket to the big dance, 12-0. Nate, what are you thinking?
I mean, Jake, I gotta say, this game, personally, is the one I am most excited for going into championship weekend. I mean, this is for all the marbles. I truly believe the winner of this game will be in the playoff come, you know, Selection Sunday. And like I said, all the credit in the world to Washington, went undefeated. They beat Oregon in the regular season at home. Oregon missed a game-tying field goal as time expired in the fourth quarter. That would have sent to overtime. And listen, Oregon, ever since that loss, has played fantastic football. Bo Nix, I'll say it right here, right now, Bo Nix should be the Heisman winner this year. He has played out of his mind. His completion percentage, I believe right now, sets an all-time record for the best completion percentage by a college football quarterback in the regular season. His numbers have been great. And to Washington, they've looked a little rocky maybe since that game. They've had some close games against lesser opponents. Today, again, the Apple Cup against Washington State, they only won by 3 points. And with all that being said, definitely no bias in this pick. I am taking the Ducks to win the Pac-12 championship game, avenge their one loss on the year, and they will go to the college football playoff as a result.
Yeah, as Nate said there, you know, this is the revenge game, and I think they get that revenge. Give me Oregon.
Wow, two for the Ducks, Sam.
You know, I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. I'm going with Washington. they've been such a dominant team this whole year. I mean, going 12-0.
All right, get out of this Discord.
I might be wrong for that, but I'm going Washington.
Looking at the spread here for those that are of age, of course, Oregon favored by 9.5. I'm going to go with the Ducks. Make it 3 out of 4. I think the Ducks get the revenge. As you mentioned, Nate, I think the Huskies are slipping a little bit at the end of the season. Moving over to Saturday, starting it off at noon, the Big 12 championship game. Number 20, Oklahoma State finished the regular season 9-3, facing off against the Horns, Texas, number 7 ranked, 11-1.
You know, the Big 12, it's always fireworks whenever they play down there. Very, very good offenses down there. I think that the Horns, Texas, will get the win. Oklahoma State just barely snuck by today against BYU. I like Texas to win the Big 12 in their final year in the Big 12. I think that the Longhorns win it and will have a very strong case to make the playoff.
Yeah, I think I've got to stay in agreement here. Top 10 team in, you know, Texas, and I think that they're going to keep rolling.
I'm going with the Longhorns. Have a long history of being a dominant football team. Let's go Texas.
Oklahoma State's offense is no joke, but I'm making it a clean sweep, putting the Horns up, the Longhorns. Take down Oklahoma State. At noon as well, the Mac, the Maction. Who doesn't love the Mac? Miami of Ohio, 10-2, taking on Toledo. As a Ohio University fan myself, sad to see the Bobcats couldn't get it done. But Toledo, Miami of Ohio, in the MAC. Toledo favored by 8.
Maction, you know, you can't beat Maction on a Tuesday night. Of course, these boys will be playing on Saturday. And for the heck of it, I'm going to go with Miami of Ohio to take it.
I know that Joji's going to be really excited for this matchup. You know, one of his favorite pastimes, of course. But I'm going to go with Toledo here.
I'm going with Miami of Ohio. You know, NCAA 14. Good team to play with. So, but no, I'm going to go Miami of Ohio for this one.
I'm going to split us up. Toledo, we got 2-2. We'll have to check back in our next episode, see who got the edge. Mountain West, as we mentioned, that will be decided shortly. Then we've got the SEC Championship at 4 o'clock on Saturday. The two powerhouses in the conference. Number one, Georgia, 11-0, going to face Alabama, 11-1. Jalen Milroe and company, 8th ranked in the country. Georgia's favored by 4.5.
What a game this is. And for anyone who might not have seen the Iron Bowl today, I mean, my goodness. Another prayer at Bel Air with Bama just scraping by on a 4th and goal from the 30-yard line. They somehow score a touchdown to win the game. But looking ahead to this one, I think it's going to be a really tight game. You have Nick Saban going against Kirby Smart, Georgia, Alabama, you know, the two top dogs in the SEC. I just think that somehow, some way, Georgia is going to find a way to sneak out the win. I think it's going to be a close, tight game, but I can't bet against the two-time defending national champions. I'm going with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, like you said, these are two really good teams in the college football landscape, but one of these teams hasn't lost a game in, like, what, 20 or 30, 40 matchups? So it's going to be Georgia
here. That felt like that. It's felt like that, yeah.
This is a tough one because both these teams are so dominant. Both of them produce pretty good NFL players. Both have a long history of tenured championships.
One of them is practically the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, well,
you're not wrong.
I'm going Georgia. I think the Bulldogs are going to pull through.
I'm going to go with Georgia as well. We're going to go all the way around. I think the Bulldogs stay undefeated heading into the playoff. The American Athletic Conference Championship, as the resident Temple Owl on the podcast. Super excited for this one. Number 23 ranked Tulane, the Green Wave, 11-1, hosting the SMU Mustangs, 10-2, one of the best defenses in the country. What do you guys think?
Ooh, now I've not watched much, you know, American football this year, Jake. However, I will say that the Tulane Green Wave, I mean, I saw what they did last year against USC in the Cotton Bowl, how they, you know, won that game. They seem to have carried that momentum over into this year. They're playing some fantastic football. I'm riding with the Green Wave, baby. Let's go Tulane.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I heard you say best defenses in the country, and you have me sold, Jacob.
All right, SMU, I guess.
That's right, let's pick. Go.
All right.
Tulane, roll wave.
We're doing another split. Give me the Mustangs. Now, it depends. I was watching the game today, SMU against Navy. SMU was crushing it. They were up 49-14. But their starting quarterback, Preston Stone, got hurt during that game. 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, over 2,800 yards on the season. I apologize for not telling you that.
I gotta sue you now.
Are you switching it? I'll allow you to switch. I'll allow you to switch, Justin. I did not tell you that.
You did not disclose that information, Jake.
Do you want to switch? Before I place my bets.
Okay. Do you want to switch? Do you want to switch your choice?
I'll stay. Okay. I'll stay.
Well, I'm going to stay with you regardless.
I respect that, Justin.
I'm sticking with it because I made that mistake. 2-2, SMU and Tulane were split again on that pick. Then who could forget? Who loves some Sun Belt Championship action, fellas? 4 p.m. on a Saturday. Appalachian State got that big win against James Madison a few weeks ago, 8-4, facing off against a beloved Troy team, 10-2. Who are we feeling, Troy or Appalachian State?
Yeah, you know, I remember that James Madison game. Game day went there. Insane crowd in Appalachian State. The Giant Slayers, if I will say, you know, went in to James Madison, got that win. And I'm going to roll with Appalachian State. I think that they are going to get the job done, secure themselves the Sun Belt Championship game.
Now I have some information now.
Oh, boy.
They haven't lost. Appalachian State has not lost since October 21st against Old Dominion. They have won 5 straight games. So if that influences your pick, Troy has been on a rampage all season. They haven't lost since September 16th against James Madison. Nate, if you would like to change your pick, I know you just
cemented my pick, Jake.
Okay.
I love what I'm hearing. Appalachian State.
There you go, Justin. There you go. To further educate your pick.
Yeah, listen, Appalachian State, I've seen them beat some very good ranked teams, and I think that they're going to once again win another one. Let's go Appalachian State.
I'm going Appalachian State. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going with.
I'm going Appalachian State. Keep that winning streak going. 6 in a row to end the season. Upset. Now the Big Ten Championship game, 8 o'clock on Saturday. The Michigan Wolverines fresh off of the game. Big win over Ohio State, now 12-0 on the season, facing off against a very good and pesky Iowa squad, 10-2, 17th in the country. Nate, the little hand flick, telling, get him out of here. Are you picking Michigan, Nate?
Without a question, I'm picking Michigan. Jake, 10-2 does not tell the full story. Iowa, they might have one of the best defenses in the country, but their offense flat out stinks. I mean, they are hot garbage on that side of the ball. All right? If you look at their average points scored by the offense, I mean, I think they rank in the bottom 5 in FBS football. I'm not going to lie. They're that bad. Michigan.
I see only 2 games where they've scored over 30 points this season.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I saw this Iowa team in person. I saw them get smacked by Penn State in the whiteout game this year. And I think that that's going to hold true this Saturday. I think that Michigan is going to smack those Hawkeyes in Indianapolis.
I'm going to have to go with the special third option, Penn State, to win this one, guys. I really think that they're the best team.
Come out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
I mean, Iowa is not good, and Michigan is good. Michigan will win easily. I'm going to go with 30 points at least.
Yeah, they're favored by 23 points, Michigan is. I think that's fair.
All right, Sam, bump it up. I'm going to go third by 50 now.
Okay.
I'm going to go Michigan. I really like J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a decent quarterback. I saw that Michigan State's running back also had like 29 touchdowns, which was like, I think that was ranked first in touchdowns for like all running backs. I don't know if that's right or not. I thought that's what.
Yeah, Blake Corum.
Corum. Yeah, he was balling out today. So I'm going to go with Michigan.
We're going go Wolverines. They're going to take down Iowa. Yeah, they're rolling. They got a chip on their shoulder. And the final game of championship weekend, the Louisville Cardinals sitting at 10-2. Mentioned them a bit earlier on, going up against Florida State, 11-0. Update on that game, Florida State has come back. They're beating Florida right now. Again, Jordan Travis, their starting quarterback, is out, Justin. I'm letting you know right here, right now, Florida State, Louisville, wrapping up the night.
To their credit, Florida State, they're having a tough game right now against the Gators, but as Jake said, seems that they are pulling away with the game a little bit here at the end. Going into the ACC championship game, it's going to be a tight one. You know, I think that despite losing today, that this Louisville Cardinals squad is going to find a way to end the dream and defeat the Florida State Seminoles for the ACC championship game and, you know, essentially end their playoff hopes. I'm taking the Cardinal.
This one, I have to go with Florida State. I think that they have looked pretty good this year. They've been a surprise throughout, you know, what I've seen. And I think that they will get one more here to make one last bid for the playoff.
I'm going to roll with the Seminoles, too. It was unfortunate that their starting quarterback did get injured. I saw that injury, and kind of as an athletic trainer, that was a very bad injury to see. But I think this team's going to kind of rally around that. And they're going to push forward for a big win.
Yeah, again, you can use the rallying cry. Jordan Travis, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, going down with the injury. But I'm going with Nate. I'm going with the Cardinals. The upset win. Just the Florida State, there's been that missing piece, and it's been Jordan Travis trying to pull away from Florida, but it's been a tight game throughout. I think Louisville's going to use that to their advantage, and they're going to get it done and win the ACC. Another split. We got three of them. We'll check back in the next episode and see how those panned out. But that will do it for this episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. Again, for future episodes, you can listen along on YouTube, but we are also on Spotify for future episodes. Again, thank you all for listening, and have a great week.